Jesus Christ, our Lord, God, and Savior, thank you for your gifts of spiritual freedom and rationality. Thank you for all that you give us that we don't even see and the ways that you protect us and care for us every moment of our lives. Amen. Our Father, who art in the heavens, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, as in heaven, so upon the earth. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. O Lord, forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those who trespass against us.
Amen. Please stand and we'll say our recitation for this camp. And if it be evil in your eyes to serve Jehovah, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were across the river, or the gods of the Amorite in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. Please be seated. Your eye is a really amazing part of your body. You have two of them on the front of your face, and if you've ever really thought about how amazing they are, that you can see light in front of you and it makes an image and you can recognize the world in front of you through your eyes, and that there's two of them and that you have this depth perception with them. But one of the things that I think we're going to focus on a little bit tonight is the way your eyes protect themselves. Have any of you tried to touch your own eye? I don't know if that's a good idea. If you don't have really clean hands, you can get dirt in your eye and it can be really sore. But if you try to touch your own eye, your eye closes. There's this strong blink reflex that your eye has that stops you from touching your own eye. If any of you ever tried to learn to put in contacts, you know, it takes a while for you to even get used to putting your finger in your own eye. And you're in control of that. And if somebody else comes close to your eye, it's just this strong reflex to close your eye. And another really cool thing about it is the way the Lord built your eye so that it's sort of inside your forehead. If something comes and hits you in the face, you have this cheekbone and this forehead that protects the way your eye gets hit so that it doesn't land on the eye, but most of the time lands around your eye. And the Lord designed all this, and he uses this image, this idea of protecting your eye, as one of the ways he talks about the way he treats freedom. One of the words that is used in the Bible is the apple of your eye, and that's your pupil. That little part in the front that sees. And when something comes right towards that, that's when your reflex is the strongest to protect itself. Because that's the part that actually sees. You can touch the eye. If you want to try to touch the eye, the easiest thing to do is look away from where your finger's coming. You sort of sneak up on it. If you try to touch the pupil is when your reflex to get away from that touch is the strongest. And I'm going to read a little bit about freedom from the book Divine Providence. And it starts out talking about the freedom to do evil and the freedom to do good. And we're going to start with that part about evil. For a person who does evil out of a love of evil and justifies it in himself, indeed acts in freedom accordance with his reason. So you want to do something bad, and you go and do it, you are acting in freedom according to reason. Yes, you are. That is freedom. But still, his freedom is in itself not freedom, or genuine freedom, but infernal freedom, which is in itself servitude. So you want to go and do something bad, and you go and do it. It's not really freedom. The quality, what it's like, is actually going to end up feeling like servitude. You end up serving this thing, this outside thing that you're doing, rather than love, which is what really who we are. Skipping on a little bit, it says, but still, each is of this divine providence. So this freedom to do good and freedom to do evil, the Lord's in charge of it. He's controlling it, and he allows both of them. He's in charge of it. For if the freedom to will evil, and by justification make it seemingly a matter of reason, were taken from the natural person, his freedom and rationality would perish, and with them his will and understanding, and he could not be led away from evils and be reformed, and so can be conjoined with the Lord and live to eternity. And this is where it says that part about the eye. Therefore, the Lord guards the freedom in a person as a person does the pupil of his eye. So that this freedom to do evil and good is something the Lord protects, but it's not for the sake of doing that evil. He protects it so he can lead you to good. And he's not going to come in and mess with you so that you don't want to do anything bad ever. It's not the way he works. He protects your freedom to choose good so that slowly he can lead you towards choosing good. And that's what it says here. It says, nevertheless, through the exercise of his freedom, the Lord continually leads a person away from evil. And to the extent that a person can, through the exercise of his freedom, be led away, to the same extent the Lord uses the exercise of his freedom to implant goods. Thus he gradually replaces infernal freedom with heavenly freedom. So it compares that instinct to keep our eye safe with the instinct the Lord has to protect that freedom. It's sort of like it's just comparing it to a reflex. The Lord protects the freedom. And it's for the sake of us choosing to follow him. And he wants us to choose to follow him in freedom. He wants us to freely choose it. And he's always, always, always striving to protect your ability to choose him. Even if it means keeping you where you are, letting you experience bad stuff, he protects that so that you can choose him. And I think that's one of the most important things about this idea of freedom, is the Lord wants you to freely choose him and protects that freedom for that sake. I'd like to read a little passage from the Psalms. I'm going to end with this. And this passage from the Psalms is that the Lord protecting somebody as the apple of his eye. And the way it describes it is as protecting us from enemies. The freedom that the Lord protects in you is a freedom to choose him. That's what he's really guarding and protecting all the time, is your ability to choose him and warding things off and protecting us from anything that would stop us from choosing him. And if you walk away from here from nothing else, I want you to know this. The Lord protects your freedom to choose him. No matter where you are in life, no matter what your experiences are, that's the reflex to protect your eye, is how strongly the Lord protects your freedom to choose him. And I think this psalm has some beautiful word pictures about the Lord defending us and protecting us. I have called upon you, this is starting as a prayer, I have called upon you, for you will hear me, O God. Incline your ear to me and hear my speech. Show your marvelous loving kindness by your right hand. O you who save those who trust in you, from those who rise up against them, keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me under the shadow of your wings, from the wicked who oppress me, from my deadly enemies who surround me. They have closed up their fat hearts. With their mouth they speak proudly. They have now surrounded us in their steps. They have set their eyes crouching down to the earth like a lion that is eager to tear his prey, and as a young lion lurking in secret places. Arise, O Lord. Confront him. Cast him down. Deliver my life from the wicked with your sword. As for me, I will see your face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake in your likeness. Amen. Please rise for a blessing. May the Lord keep your going out and your coming in, this time forth, and even forevermore. Amen.